Hello and welcome to the Loving Truth Podcast. I'm Connor. I'm joined by Mike. We're excited to be with you. Want to dive in on the podcast today to this question. Why is church planting God's plan for the church? Church planting, and maybe even you could broaden that to the idea of revitalizing or one church kind of helping another church maybe become vital again. Why is church planting God's plan for the church? How the gospel advances, how local churches think about the advancement of the church. Mike, that's where we're going. This is going to be kind of a simple, you know, dip our toes in the water, but we'll be circling back to this idea just throughout the podcast in future episodes. So, Mike, can I just ask you, why is church planting God's plan for the church?
Yeah. Hey, before I answer that, please.
Wait
a second. You know what's funny is we're sitting here and we haven't recorded for a couple of weeks, and I know that we changed the title to Loving Truth, and I love it, but as you were doing the intro, I was literally ready for you to say ordinary church.
Oh, yeah. I almost said ordinary church. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
But it's a Loving Truth podcast.
It's been years of ordinary church. But
I know. We've been many hundreds of episodes. Mm-hmm. Going back to the Winston Weber, Mike Shera era and all of that. And
that's right.
Oh, my goodness. And I remember when we first started, it was like back in the library at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we had these like foam things set up. And
I remember that.
The sound right and all that
stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now we have these sweet microphones that are just like, just does it for us. Mm-hmm. Makes us sound better than we are. And we don't sound good. I don't sound that good now, but without this microphone, it would be a lot worse.
Tanner dials it in too. Yeah.
Tanner knows how to dial it in. Mm-hmm. All right. So why is church planting like God's design for the way things should run? Let me say this. I think that every church should be thinking about reproducing. Okay. But every church doesn't think about reproducing. I think churches get into this, I don't want to call it a rut necessarily, but a rut, okay? Mm-hmm. A gully. I don't know what you want to call it, but something where they just do what they do, like doing church or whatever, that has always been a bit distasteful for me because it's like I read in the Bible and it's like they're always going. They're doing, they're being, and they're going. And it's like, why is this God's design? Because this is the way he designed it. Mm-hmm. You look in the book of Acts and it's like they go to a town, they make some disciples and a church crops up. People sometimes want to debate, oh, we're supposed to just go make disciples. And others are like, no, we're supposed to church plant. Yes, yes. Like if you church plant, you're making disciples. If you're making disciples, you better be church planting. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Whose disciples are you making? You
right,
know?
Right.
So the church is God's program. The church is God's design. The book of Acts, you see it loud and clear that literally someone gets saved and they're in the church. They're part of the body, but they're in the locality. Okay. And I think of Titus. I got my Bible open to Titus 1. And I love the way Paul so succinctly said this. He said to, now here's what he did. He said to Titus what we should be saying to every church, right? He said, this is why I left you in Crete, that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So on the island of Crete, which I've been to, by the way, beautiful island, there were towns with believers in them and churches, and he was to appoint elders in each of those towns. We're not told how many towns, okay, but we're told this is what he's to do. Go and appoint elders. Why would he need to appoint elders? Because there's a church. And he's appointing elders for this group of believers that are in a locality who were called to worship the Lord daily and gather together and go out with the gospel. So do life and gather and go out with the gospel. What happens, though, is people just get into this, I'm just doing my own life. It doesn't matter where you are on earth. And you have to kind of get shaken loose of the somehow building a kingdom on earth. Mm. And it's like, no, no, no. We're about eternity and about eternal things. And while we're living here, we're to be about Christ's business and about his kingdom purposes and about getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. So planting churches, revitalizing dying churches, helping other churches, wanting the church to thrive and multiply is just embedded in the Great Commission. It's embedded in Acts chapter 1. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. I feel like the simple thought in my mind is if God's plan is the church, and if the plan for the church is local gatherings, then that's the answer. You know, like, yeah, this is the plan for the church, because the church is the plan for God's people, you know, that he wants disciples to be gathering in local fellowships. And so if you are invested in the progress of the gospel, and that looks like sometimes sending people to go other places and see disciples made there, you're talking about the beginning of a new local gathering of Christ Church. It's also, I was just thinking of Titus's situation. It's not like each one of those towns potentially is hearing Titus say, and now three of you need to, you know, get up and go over there. Maybe, but also some stay, some go. And there's especially people like Titus or Paul or Silas, or who are kind of the special forces. I don't know, where the church says, hey, we want you to go and, you know, go around and make disciples and see them gather together into these local churches. So, yeah.
Yeah. However it happens.
Right.
Right. Whoever's called to whatever roles. Yeah.
Right. What do you think of this idea? You know, those Coleman tents that are just like pop up, yeah, you know, do you ever think that we can, cause I actually, tell me if I'm wrong, I don't think that the exact term church planting is in the Bible, right? Right. It's not. So the idea, I mean, I wonder if sometimes we can fall into this mindset of, we just need to put the right package together, or like a quick bake, like cake, you know, yeah, like buy the stuff, I add water, I add an egg, and it's like, boom, a new church. But it feels like what we're really describing is, no, like, people are going to go and the gospel is going to be preached and the Lord will draw people to himself. And when that happens, now we have a new local church on our hands, yeah, and they need to start living according to the pattern of God's word.
Right.
Right. Is there a danger in that? Like, oh, we're just going to go. If we just kind of send the right mix, it's all going to boom. It's like a new church is going to just pop into existence.
Yeah. The Coleman tent thing, you know, I grew up in the era of the Coleman tent was in a bag and had a lot of pieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they make these new ones and just pop it out. You throw it in the air and it comes down.
Right. 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 Right.
All
yeah.
good. And the thing is, that's distasteful to me. Right. I don't appreciate that, nor do I think it's good. Like I call it plug and play church. It's
like, that's it.
Get everybody on the conveyor belt and just go. No, it's what you said. But here's the thing. Because we believe that, it's easy for us to not have that happen, so that the church can exist for 50 years and never plant a sister congregation. Hmm. Again, we wouldn't say that that's the only way to do it, but what like comes from like.
Yeah.
Like, go be fruitful and multiply. And it could be that there's just this whole team of people that are just all separate and they go out and plant church, because that is happening. Okay.
Hmm.
But I think a local congregation sending people out is the model in the book of Acts. And again, not the only thing that can happen, but you know, the idea where someone just goes, the Lord told me to go plant a church in the darkest part of the entire universe, Irvine, California, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they write their letter and, oh, it's so dark and there's no churches. And it's like, there's 25 churches within a mile.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, wait, they don't have your brand. Okay.
Hmm.
That always makes me kind of like shudder a little bit. At the same time, I'm like, well, at least they're doing it. Right.
Hmm.
So I look at that and I think of our church, and I think we've been a part of two church replants, is what I would call them, mm-hmm, you know, revitalizations, but Rancho and Cherry Valley. And those were need-based. There was a church that basically said, come and help us.
Yeah.
Okay. There's another church that we're helping right now. And it's like, that's also a way of church planting, if you will,
mm-hmm,
where you take, there's a location and it doesn't have a ton of churches around it. And again, I think geography is important. I don't know. In some ways, I think as long as it happens in a way that's God-honoring and it's not too formulaic, there's so many ways that God brought things about, even in the Bible times, scattered by persecution.
Right, right.
Maybe, you know, maybe it's just too expensive to live in a certain place and all these young couples move somewhere else.
Sure, totally. You know,
whatever.
Yeah, you know, no, absolutely. Yeah. There's so many factors. Yeah, and so many ways it could look. No, I like what you're saying. That's a good point. Just because we don't want to be Coleman tent people who are going to pop up the next replica,
right,
it doesn't mean that we don't do it. You know, we don't want to engage with that. One more thing I was going to just ask about, Mike, and then maybe we can start to draw this one toward a close. But sometimes I feel like it's church planting, but then what ends up happening is we're kind of siphoning believers off of other congregations. As that church is getting going, you know, maybe it's like the brand situation that you talked about. This is our brand. It's this kind of preaching. It's this kind of church. And within a few years, there's a lot of people, but maybe they've kind of all just spilt in from other churches nearby. And that could be a good thing under God's providence. But I do like that idea of it's very evangelistic. Like, we want new people who have been in darkness to come to the light, you know, of the Lord. So any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, we're both hitting things that are distasteful to us, right? The whole idea of I'm going to go plant a church across town in a church that has all these because I got to do a different brand that's cooler or, you know, more appealing always strikes me as odd because there's a lot of Christians, not just in America, but everywhere, but especially in America, that it's just the newest voice that they want to hear, the you know, pastor that draws people or whatever, or the kind of church it is. I don't want to be a part of that. We want new believer growth. And that's what we should want. Let's just say we go help a church to revitalize. That means a group needs to be out reaching people for Christ and being out in the community. And that is the way that God designed it, is for new believers to crop up, making disciples, and not just kind of entertaining the same people in a round robin kind of a switching.
Yeah, right, right.
And Orange County is unique. So is LA County. So many people have been a part of like 4 or 5 churches over 20 years, all in the same location.
Right.
Maybe something happened at one. Maybe they didn't like this. Maybe they didn't like that. And I don't want to like make everybody feel bad, but if we say, oh, that is what God intended when he was saying this, that, and the other, we're going to short circuit. We're going to downplay and even downgrade what God intends the church to be about. So I think most churches, including ours, could be 85% more intent on making, on getting out and getting the gospel out and reaching people for Christ than we are.
That's a good line. Yeah, because it starts here. If it's not in the DNA here that we're actually trying to, you know, have people out in the community evangelizing and seeing people come to Christ, then it's not going to be replicated elsewhere. Well, we'll have to come back for a part two on this, Mike. I have another question even in my head right now, but I think we'll just land the plane for now. So listeners, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you tuning in. Mike and I always enjoy the chance to have these conversations, and thanks for listening. So we'll talk to you next time. Until then, God bless you. Have a great day.